to another show. My name is Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority, and I'm so glad you joined us because here on this show, we talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is how to get funding for your real estate deals, syndication, private money, you name it. And I tell you what, if you've been tuning into the show for any length of time and we're just getting ready to celebrate our 5-year anniversary, you know that I always have amazing guests that join me here on the show, and today is no exception. Now, if you're brand new, we really appreciate the rates, the reviews, the subscribing. Be sure and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure and ring that bell so you don't miss out on any future shows that come up. Well, my guest today has got all kinds of experience. First of all, he is an expert in multifamily. He's a multifamily investor. Bless his heart, he's an attorney and he's a mentor to many, many multifamily investors all around the country. Now, his legal and consulting practice really has one expertise and specialty, and that is helping new investors overcome any kind of lack of confidence in moving towards their financial objectives of owning and operating apartments. So, of course, as you know, there's different kinds of commercial deals, but my guest is specializing in his expertise is in apartments. Well, he's uniquely qualified for sure to walk investors confidently through the entire process from the very beginning, analyzing properties, should you do the deal, negotiating contracts, organizing and lining up funding, which that right there is my favorite subject, as well as transitioning to actually ownership and owning these properties. Well, my guest has owned and operated, and here's why he is so qualified to talk about this, over 20, my lands, million of multifamily properties in his career, and he's represented over 1,000 investors throughout all these types of transactions. So my guest knows multifamily, all facets of it, backwards and forwards. He's done it all. He's done deals in multifamily with no money down. He's funded them with syndications, and we're going to talk about that. What's the difference between private money, syndications, what we call one-off deals, master lease options, Class A through Class D properties, rehabbing, foreclosures, assumptions. I mean, anything that you can think of that deals with multifamily, you name it, and my guest has done it. With that, please welcome to the show, Charles Dobbins. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Jay. How are you? What a great introduction.
Well, I've got a great guest to introduce. Therefore, it makes the introduction very easy to do, right?
I got to tell you, Jay, you know, I love that when you said, bless his heart, he's a lawyer. You know, I got to tell you, you people down south, you use that expression, bless your heart. You know what we say up here in New England?
What's that?
I'm not going to repeat it. Yeah, you're a nice man.
You see here, I won't repeat Charles, it. You know, down here in the south, you can say anything you want to say about anybody as long as you follow it up with what?
Bless your heart.
Bless his heart. Bless her heart. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. Shoot, you know, I used to date
You're
this girl.
You're the first person, Jay. You were the first person to have ever admitted that's exactly what it means and how it's used.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Charles, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to have you on the show because the person that is listening to you today, in addition to me, is a real estate investor. The real estate investor is interested in all kinds of real estate, single family houses, multifamily apartments, definitely interested in how do I get the funding for these type of deals. But before we dive into all that, Charles, how about take us to your backstory and tell us how you even got into real estate to begin with?
Yeah. I mean, I started off, I've always wanted to own apartments ever since I was a little kid. It's like people, you know, some people's heroes, you know, with Bobby Orr and Carl Yastrzemski, mine were the guys in my town who were millionaires and they all owned apartments. And I thought, man, that's exactly what I want to do when I grow up. But I took the path of least resistance, which in my family was the insurance business. And when I got out of college, I went to the insurance business and floundered for a couple of years. I, you know, was miserable. Finally, I said, I can't do this anymore. And I want to be a lawyer. So I went to law school. And while I was in law school, I was also working for an insurance firm where I started making really good money. And so much so that when I got out of college, I mean, I got out of law school, I couldn't take a pay cut to go out and be a lawyer. So I stayed in the insurance business for like another 20 years, started my own law firm, insurance business. By the time I turned 40, Jay, I hated what I was doing. I dreaded it. I owned the company. I had about 35 employees working for me, and I didn't like getting up and going to work every day. And I can only imagine what it was like for my employees. But you know, one time I was speaking to a group of people, and I just had this thought come over my head. And I thought it was a novel thought. I thought this was the only one that felt this way. And I said this out loud, and I watched everybody nod their head. I said, how many people feel like the worst time of the week are Sunday evenings? Now, I said that because I remember back in those days, Sunday evenings, I hated it because it meant it was followed up by Monday morning. And I'd have to go into that office again and get my head beat in for another week. And I dreaded Sunday afternoons. And when I said that, Jay, I was amazed at how many people's heads just started nodding, like they knew exactly what I was talking about. So I couldn't do it any longer. I said to my wife, I said, I gotta get out of this. She says, what do you want to do? I said, I want to own apartments. I've always wanted to own apartments. That's what I'm going to do. So sold my insurance administration firm. Had, you know, a chunk of change, went out and started buying apartments, and that's how I got started.
What year was that?
That was about 2005.
Gotcha.
2005. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you and I have been doing this about the same length of time. I started full time, primarily focusing on single family houses. Personally, I've done commercial as well. One of my favorite developments was developing from the ground up a shopping center. From the ground up. And I'll tell you what, about 7 years ago when that baby got paid off and free and clear, that's a nice way to print money every month, but that is definitely a long-term play. So let me ask you this. Why?
Hold on a second, Jay. Does that strip mall or strip plaza, are those like triple net leases you have in there?
So tell everybody what you mean by triple net.
So triple net is the mecca of commercial real estate. That's where the tenant pays all the downside, increase in taxes, insurance, utilities. It's all covered by the tenant, and the landlord gets their rent every month without any. They don't care if the utilities go up. They don't care if the taxes go up. That's all on the tenant, and that. You want to talk about printing money. A triple net lease is a nice lease to have, but it takes a type of tenant in order to engage in a triple net lease. It's not like you can do that on a multifamily property. It doesn't work that way. But but if you do have triple net lease, Jay, bravo to you, brother.
There you go. But as I said, my primary focus since 2003 has been single family houses. So why apartments?
You know, single family homes scared me. My background was in business and in practicing law. My wife has her MBA. We're doing this together. When we started looking at getting into the fix and flip and the single family home business, especially where we live, we're in Duxbury, Massachusetts. I mean, the average home price was about $600,000. You know, we hear these stories about people putting homes on their credit cards. You can't do that in my area, which meant that if you made a mistake on a single family, you made a mistake that could cost you a lot of money. And we were not, it was easier for us to read a financial statement than it was to go out and do a BPO on a single family home. And so we were always more geared towards multifamily because, as I teach my students, multifamily is not about owning property. It's about running a business. And when you're in the multifamily arena, the property is secondary to the actual business that you're buying. And that's really the way I teach my students. You've got to look at this as a business. You're becoming a business owner, the same way you would if you purchase a franchise. But the multifamily business is the greatest business in the world to be in. But that's why we focus more on multifamily right away. We dipped our toe into the single family. It just wasn't for us.
How many doors do you have now? And tell my audience the definition of a door.
Okay, so we call doors, other people call them keys. Doors are the number of units, apartment units that you have. At the height, I had about 1,200. I'm in the process of selling my last one and hoarding my cash because, Jay, as you know, what happened back in 2008, I was on the wrong side of it. I'm not going to let that happen again. And I'm watching the tea leaves and seeing where this market's headed right now. And right now I'm waiting for the wave of multifamily foreclosures to start to come on board. And I'll tell you a funny story. I purchased a 222 unit apartment complex back in 2008. I purchased it 1 month before Fannie and Freddie went bankrupt. And it was about $7.5 million. And man, this thing was absolutely great. Market changed the next month. We held on to that thing as long as we could. You know, about 5 years, the term came due, and you know, the markets that had crashed. We had to give it back to the bank. So we bought it 7.5, non-recourse loan, dropped the keys on the bank's desk, and walked away from it. And that was because of the crash in the market. About 6 months ago, I was on a internet show called Multifamily Shark Pool, where I was one of the sharks, and people would come and pitch their deals. And this guy gets on there and he says he's buying property in Lexington, Kentucky. He owns property there. He loves it. And he starts putting up pictures of his portfolio in Lexington, Kentucky. And Jay, I couldn't believe it. He owns that property that I gave back to the bank. So as I'm on the call with the guy, I jump over to my laptop, I pull up CoStar, and I can see the history of that property. I never looked at it before. And this guy is telling me why his deal is good, because the market's not going to change. And if it changes, it's only going to change a little bit. And I said, listen, pal, you can't tell me that, because back in 2008, I purchased a 222-unit property in Lexington, Kentucky, and you see his eyes get big, and he knows he owns my property. And I gave him the history. I bought it for 7.5. It went back to the bank. The bank sold it to somebody for $3 million. And then this guy bought it from that guy for $7 million. That guy made $4 million just by getting in the way, and he walked away with all of my profit. And I thought, man, that's what's coming up. That's going to start happening again, and I'm going to be on the right side of it this time.
Yeah, I want to talk about what we see and what you see coming down the pike in this market. But before we get into that conversation, my favorite subject is funding deals, private money, all that kind of thing. So how have you funded your apartments in the past?
All right, we've done a couple, every way you possibly can imagine, we've done it. And, you know, I have learned so much from certain ways and would never do other things again. I bought property the right way, which is where you put the right amount of money down on a property. And when I say putting the amount of money down, I'm not saying it came out of my pocket. I'm saying that we came up to the closing table with 30% down payment, making the property easy to own and operate. We raised that money through friends and family. And the way we got that on board, and I had this conversation, a very similar conversation with you when you were on my show, Jay, is, you know, you build up your bank of potential investors and you cultivate them. You work with them. You tell them what you're doing. You tell them why you're doing, looking at this particular property and not that particular property. You tell them the whole story of the process. And then when it comes time to pull the trigger, when we finally got that deal under contract and it had passed due diligence, when we got back on the horn with all of our investors, within 9 days, we had all the funds we needed to fund that deal. So that's what I call doing it the right way. You know, we've done no money down deals. We've done master lease options. We've done syndication. You know, we've done assumptions. Every possible way you can do a deal, we've done it. So that's you know, and it's just really just like you and I said before, relationships. You guys have to build relationships with your investors, and that's the easiest way to make sure you have the dough when you're ready to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. The reason private money is my favorite subject is, first of all, you know, when I was investing from 2003 to 2009, I relied on local banks and institutions and, you know, institutional money, if you will. And then I lost my lines of credit, you know, like the rest of everybody did 2008, 2009. And so this world of private money that you just mentioned, changed my business like nothing like ever before. And, you know, I'm sure that you get the same questions from your students in multifamily as I do from my students in single family. And that is, how do I get the funding? And most people don't understand that private money's got nothing to do with traditional or institutional money. And so, Charles, if you will allow me, I just want to give everybody my brand new money guide that I just finished writing. I told your audience about it. It's called 7 Reasons Why Private Money Will Skyrocket Your Real Estate Business, Help You Build Incredible Wealth. This will get you on the fast track to private money and where you make the rules. It's brand new. You can download it for free. Just go to www.jayconner.com/money-guide. That's Jay Conner with an E-R, jayconner.com/money-guide. Be sure and download that right after the show to get on the fast track to private money. Now, back to what we were talking about, Charles. So what do you see in your crystal ball? I mean, right now, today, you and I are visiting in the second quarter of 2022. And you mentioned that you've got a plan to liquidate a lot of property that you got. What do you see coming down the pike?
You know, I'll tell you, it's amazing who you talk to, and the different, their backgrounds and where their advice is coming from. I honestly think that I did a podcast with Ivy Zelman. She's absolutely brilliant. Zelman Associates. She actually goes and, she works, her company is owned by Walker Dunlop, one of the biggest dust lenders for Fannie Mae. And her job is just to go out there and figure out what the market's doing. And I said to her, I said, you know, what's happening now is different than 2008, because back in 2008, there wasn't sound underwriting. Back in 2008, if you could fog up a mirror, you could get a mortgage. Now that's changed. Now you need KPs and experience and what have you. I said, and also the demand for our product, the multifamily apartments, right now is bigger than it ever has been. So for those two reasons, Ivy, this market is entirely different than 2008. So what do you see happening? And with a total straight face, Jay, she looked at me and said, it's worse. This market's in worse situation than it was back in 2008. And it's a lot of the same things, but I asked her about demand. She goes, right now we are overbuilt. With the amount of properties that are in the hopper that haven't even broken ground yet, we have more supply than we have demand for that's coming up. And I'm sitting there listening to her, and she's got all the numbers. I can't argue with her. I said, well, how about the market, different markets in different areas? I mean, up here in New Hampshire, it's an incredibly strong market. We've got, you know, 1% occupancy, 1% vacancy rates. You know, it's not like that. She says, well, everyone thinks people are migrating to the South. That's not happening. When you look at the year over year change, there is no great massive migration that everybody's talking about. They're just talking as if there's a huge demand down the South and Southeast section. And I'm saying, Ivy, we're not seeing that at all. She goes, look at the numbers. And she showed us the numbers. And it just kind of blew you away. Then you label on top of that, especially what's going on. Perfect example. Zillow in Phoenix just unloaded 2,000 single-family homes that they had purchased cash because the demand is going away. The demand and all these build-to-rents. Build-to-rent is like the new fair-haired child of Wall Street. Those are going to get hit the hardest. When you see these big corporations who who are doing most of the buying right now, when you see these big corporations buying up swaths and then unloading them at below what they paid for, they know something is going on and they know something's going to happen. Part of the problem is that these big corporations, big funds have purchased these homes and all these single family properties using stock prices that were inflated. Now we're seeing the stock market just dropped and we're talking about it happening even more. And there's going to be a call on those, a default call. And that's when you're going to start seeing things happening where those funds are going to have a, I'm blanking here, Jay, on the name of when your broker calls you and because he's short on cash, because somebody listening right now is yelling at the screen right now, Jay, trying to remember what it is. But there's going to be a cash call for these funds, and they're going to liquidate their prices. What she said is, what Ivy had said is that blew me away, that these homes that are being picked up, the majority of these homes now are being picked up by people who own more than one home. Many of these people own three homes. So they're not their primary residence that they're buying. They're looking at these for investments. And as she said that, I thought to myself, holy cow, she's right. I own three homes. I mean, and if the market turns, I mean, I don't have to sell it, but the other people will have to start to unload those things just to get out from underneath them. And that's, we're going to be swamped with a lot of these single family homes back on the market. And that's going to change everything. And, you know, I sit there and I listen to these things and I keep shaking my head. No, this is different. And I just have to remember, you know what? I was telling myself the same thing back in 2008. And boy, was I wrong. So, you know, I listen to everything now. I try to figure out exactly which direction it's going. It's so hard to say, but it's my friend Paul Moore, who I just had him for the third time on my podcast. Paul Moore, the guy writes all these books. He did a blog post on Bigger Pockets where he said, you know, that when you get into real estate, you have to buy the property at the right price. You cannot expect the market to solve your problems. Your business plan is what has to solve the problems. And the market just takes it even higher or can hurt you. But you have to have a good, solid business plan. And if your business plan is to hope that the cap rate on a multifamily property gets lower than 3, you don't have a good business plan. And you've got to reevaluate your situation. I always go back to, you know, the safest bet. What would Warren Buffett do right now? You know, would he be running into Phoenix to buy multifamily property? No way. So you got to be careful. You got to be smart about where you're looking, and you've got to make sure that your business plan, you know, which is why we say build new or find value adds. But don't buy a performing asset with no value-add propositions and hope that the market's going to take it higher. Because it's just, you know, trees don't grow to the sky.
What's your advice to a new real estate investor looking to do their first deal?
You have to get out. You have to understand that the number one aspect of multifamily investing, the most important part of your multifamily real estate investment business, is sales and marketing. My most successful students are those that came into the business with a sales and marketing background. They knew that they had to get out there and prospect for deals every single day, or somebody else is going to steal those deals. So you have to get out there and hustle to find, especially today's market where it's a very strong market right now. You got to hustle and move fast to get out there and find those deals before anybody else does. So 80% of your business is focusing on sales and marketing for that first deal. If you think you're just going to sit back and never having done it before and expect a broker to just kind of like dump a deal on your desk because you called them, you got a long row ahead of you. You've got to get out there and speak to those owners before the competition does, before the brokers do. And that's how you're going to find your first deal. And it has to have a value add proposition. Otherwise, just don't do it. Don't over. We're investors.
And when you say a value add proposition, what do you mean by that?
I mean, for the same thing that when you're looking to buy a business, and the reason why you like a particular business is because you know that you can unlock something within that business that's going to bring it more value, that's going to make it more valuable to you, but the current owner isn't doing it. That's the same thing with multifamily. Is you're getting out there, maybe you're going to find an old tired landlord who hasn't raised the rents in 4 years because he likes the people that live there. They don't give him a hard time. But now you buy and you see the rents are at $1,000 now and they should be at $1,500. That difference, that $500 difference, take it, folks, just so you can do a little math at home. If you find a deal like that, where the difference between the market and the current rents is $500, take that number, multiply it by the number of units, multiply that by 12, and then divide it by what we call the cap rate. And that'll tell you how much additional value is locked up in that property because it's being poorly managed. Those are the deals that we always want to find. That's what we go looking for. That's how millionaires get made in the multifamily business.
And in today's market, what's your favorite way to find these deals?
Going direct to the owner, finding those mom and pops. Typically, the best size properties you're looking for are between 20 to 50 units. That size property is an underappreciated marketplace. You're dealing with people whose properties are too big for the residential realtor to get in there and start making their name for themselves, and too small for the national mortgage brokerage houses who sell multifamily all day. So you're dealing directly with the owner. And that owner, you know, he may not be a full-time multifamily investor. He may have bought this thing for an investment 20 years ago, and he's just been holding on to it. You find those types of people, that's where the gold is in this business. Finding those people. And it's really the best way to do it is direct mail to the owners. And that's how you find the deals.
In today's market, Charles, what's your advice to investors that currently have multifamily, developments, apartments, et cetera? And what type of properties should they look at liquidating? What would be the criteria for that? And what would be the criteria for which ones should they hold on to?
First off, what we're seeing is that people who are getting into deals now have to get into the deals for a longer term. If you're looking to get into a deal for a 3 to 5 year term in today's market, that's scary. So if you're looking to raise private money and bring in other investors, you want to sell and pitch your deal to be a 7 to 10 year hold. But first off, because these investors, they're savvy. They don't want their money back in 3 years in an inflationary period where they now have to take that money and go out and buy something else to reinvest it into something else at these inflated prices. They want to stay in a hard asset that goes all the way through the inflationary cycle. So you're looking at pitching your deals that are more 7 to 10 year terms. If you own a property right now and you're looking to get out of it, I tell you, you might want to wait, especially, obviously, interest rates are creeping up there. And then the problem, Jay, this is something that's very unique to multifamily that your single family people don't quite understand, is that a lot of these loans have incredibly huge prepayment penalties that, requires a whole formula that takes into consideration the stock market. So there are big prepayment penalties if you try to get out of a multifamily loan early, which means that you might be better off staying with that low interest rate loan that you picked up 2 years ago and riding this wave, or finding a buyer who will assume the existing mortgage and let you get out of it that way. It's really interesting now because we're seeing the inflation rates go up. Those mortgages that were purchased 2 years ago for those deals, that's another asset to your deal. You just, you got a 3% interest rate, the market's at 5. Well, you can go find a buyer who's going to assume your existing mortgage at 3%, and that guy thinks he hit a home run. So that's going to really help a lot of these multifamily investors who are owning now and looking to get out in the near future. So there's a lot of moving parts to answer your question, but there are so many things you got to take into consideration before you flip and sell. It's a weird time right now with what's going on with the interest rates.
If you are interested in learning more about multifamily investing, then my good friend Charles actually has what's called the Multifamily Investing Academy, which is located at www.multifamilyinvestingacademy.com. Charles, tell us, what is the Multifamily Investing Academy all about?
Well, you know what guys are like, Jay, who own academies, you know? I mean, I think that puts the two of us in the same playing field, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I got the Private Money Academy conference.
Exactly. Yeah, we're academy owners. We go hang out together, at these vacation spots. But Multifamily Investing Academy is the educational arm of my law firm, where we teach all facets of multifamily. Recently, I've come up with a new program called the Multifamily OS, Multifamily Operating System, because what I found is that I can teach you how to buy a property, but in order to achieve your goals of maybe owning 1,000 units, you can't do it on one deal. You've got to build a business that is going to withstand the test of time, something that you'll be able to leave to your family. And so what we're creating is a multifamily operating system that shows you how to build a multifamily business, not just buy one property. And it really starts with that sales and marketing department, where we actually, when you sign up with us, you get your own VA who is employed by me and trained by me, but works for you, and my own CRM, multifamily CRM, where we load you up with 1,000 leads for multifamily property in your marketplace that meet your criteria. And we just make sure we market to those people over and over and over again so that you can find that first deal faster than anybody else. And this is all part of the way we build the program and the process for you. You know, it's not about just buying a property. It's about building a business.
That's www.multifamilyinvestingacademy.com. Charles, final comments.
I hope I didn't scare people away about multifamily. Multifamily is the greatest business in the world to be in. What's going on in the marketplace right now, don't worry about it. Be aware of it, but don't let it stop you from getting started in your dream of becoming a multifamily investor. Because in every downturn, that's where the most millionaires have been made. So make sure you start building your business now. You know, I've had students of mine that took 3 years to buy their first property. That's fine. It doesn't matter. Once you're in this business, you're in this business, and it's the best business to be in. Because as I teach, you want to own 1,000 apartments? Start with 20 this year. 1,000 apartments in 5 years, all I ask for is you buy 20 this year and then keep doubling everything that you own without selling anything. In 5 years, you'll have over 1,000 apartments. And it's really, and then by 3 years, you'll be set for life. That's how it works in this business. Best business in the world.
That's www.multifamilyinvestingacademy.com. Charles, thank you so much for joining me here on the show.
Jay, always good to see you, buddy.
Same here. Well, there you have it. Another show wrapping up. I'm Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority, wishing you all the best. And again, we really appreciate the likes, the shares, the follows, the 5-star ratings on iTunes. And if you're watching on YouTube, be sure and tap and click that bell so you don't miss out on any more notifications of these amazing guests that I have on here. Here's to taking your business to the next level, and we'll see you right here on the next show.